Andrew Siciliano did a great job on that one.
Yeah.
A little more tension than I wanted at that point of the game. I was hoping there was no chance of a touchdown, and there was every chance of a touchdown.
I wasn't worried. I didn't think they were going to score.
I don't know why.
No. Can we all just kind of give a collective shout-out to the Department of Energy for what their role was in yesterday's game? I mean, please, can't we? Can we give them a big shout-out? You know, sometimes we don't give government enough credit. And the Department of Energy, had they not changed the daylight savings time rule back in 07, I do think Rashad Bateman would have caught that ball earlier on the drive in the fourth quarter. And since he lost it, the sun in his eyes, had that normally, you know, before 07, that they would have, the game would have been an hour different.
Might be the funniest thing you've ever said.
I would like to give a big shout out to the Department of Energy. Salute. Thank you for your help yesterday. Sure, I can't believe it's been since 07 since they changed
the funny thing? That poor guy. As soon as it happened, he points up to the sun. It wasn't me, it was the sun. It was the sun that made that football hit me in the face.
That's exactly right. I'm trying to remember who was the Brown. Somebody came over and said, yeah, sun can be pretty bad. They gave him I don't know if they were riding him or if they were like, oh, I feel bad for you because you lost it in the sun. Who was that? Maybe it was Rodney? I think maybe it was Rodney. Somebody said something to him when he walked away, and I just laughed. I was like, oh, man, too bad.
What did you think yesterday? I mean, there's some big picture things that happened in this game yesterday. Let's start where we need to start.
Okay, I know where we're going.
Jameis Winston, a quarterback, as opposed to what we saw in the first seven games.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I thought Jameis looked like a quarterback that can help you win games. I thought Jameis pushed the ball down the field. I thought Jameis didn't panic in the pocket. I thought Jameis helped this team win yesterday. But he also did a couple of Jameis things yesterday, including a ball that should have been intercepted prior to the touchdown.
Should it ever have been intercepted?
Prior to that game-winning touchdown to Cedric Tillman. It is amazing to me the few inches that can change a Monday for us from happy and everything is awesome to let's start playing taps again and start talking about the draft again. And it's just those inches there that fall on the end of your fingertips that make a difference in a game like yesterday. So I thought Jameis played very well yesterday. Three touchdowns, 334 yards. Just makes me wonder why we couldn't have had 334 yards in that too. And you know, Jamal White and I talk after every game, and Jamal, I kept saying to him, like my first question to him yesterday was, hey, look, you can't tell me Jameis didn't look like a much more efficient quarterback. And he goes, well, you can't totally look like that. I'm like, man, you're not in the locker room. There's no more cameras in front of your face. Well, there was a camera in front of his face, but it's not like he's like, well, it's just not that the way it is. You know, the offensive line was a little bit healthier, and you know,
going up against the worst pass defense
who were missing
the early part of the season.
Two defensive backs
that they've given up more yards than any other team through the air so far this season.
But you still have to exploit it, right?
Yes, Andy. Bingo.
Here's the other part too: is that with Nick Chubb back out there, Baltimore has to account for him, whether he has 15 or 18 or 120 runs, they still have to account for him. And I don't think they had to do that in the past with our running game. So, and that's a part of it too.
Well, I thought Deontay Foreman looked good yesterday too. It was only 5 carries, but he had 26 yards.
It was 5 yards a carry.
Jameis Winston yesterday to me, I don't want to go here yet, but I will.
Go there.
He looked like Joe Flacco.
Yes. Yes, he did.
The game plan looked like Joe Flacco.
The only difference was the sermon before the game between the two of them. Joe didn't really give those kind of sermons. The Reverend was in full form yesterday.
As Joel Batonio said yesterday, and we'll find the cut and play it, he was asked about Jameis and his speeches and everything else that he said. It was a little bit out there.
What was a sticker on? We play for the stickers on
the
back.
We play for the sticker on the helmet or something. Yeah, and then Jameis said, "Well, we don't really have one."
Although J.W. Johnson alluded that they may have a sticker or some kind of patch for Jim Donovan.
Oh, that's nice.
Shortly, yeah,
that would be nice.
Yeah,
I thought Jameis looked like what we Jameis at quarterback made this offense look like what we think it can look like. Here's what Batonio had to say, by the way.
Oh, good energy. He was very confident in the huddle. He was always talking the whole time. I don't know some of the stuff he was saying was, you know, a little out there, but he was ready to go. And no matter what, we're coming back next play. There was a bad play or a penalty or something like that. We were ready to roll. Obviously, ball well today. I think it was 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, the game winner. Just a lot of energy. He was a lot of energy, but he's been like that since he's been here. So it was expected.
It's refreshing.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
I think it's important that he played because I think, and maybe I'm wrong because I'm not in that locker room. So, but, you know, there started to get rumblings yesterday. They're like, well, you know, Jameis has a lot of talk and he needed the opportunity to prove himself on the field. And I'm not saying that was going to happen if Deshaun was still healthy, but I think there were rumblings, and I heard him again yesterday that people were saying, well, he's kind of worn out his welcome and, you know, he's not really – he's all talk. Well, yesterday he was action.
He wasn't talk yesterday.
No, he was 334 yards worth of action and 3 touchdowns worth of action yesterday, and he only got sacked twice. So, you know, I think –
And none in the second half.
And when you win, sometimes the chatter takes a different tone for a locker room when if you can go out and prove it and do it, guys will respect you in the locker room. If you don't have the opportunity to go out and do it, well, then it's kind of a lot of hot air.
We know there should have been one interception, and chances are it would have changed the game because the next play was a touchdown.
Oh, for sure.
But as it stood, 334 yards passing. Deshaun Watson hadn't had more than 196 in a game this year. Browns didn't even have a 200-yard passing game. And yesterday, 334. Now,
just give Wyatt Teller all the credit for everything. On the
what was part was Wyatt said he almost blew the game because of
doesn't
that,
matter.
That
he gets good
penalty.
Credit.
Yes, absolutely.
He was out there. That's all that matters.
Yep, and Jameis almost blew the game with an interception, but neither one did.
Right.
But 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 334. It was a very different looking offense. What it looked like, Andy, was what it looked like with Joe Flacco last year. I mean, it was the same. It was the same deal. And you could make the argument, what was Flacco's big thing, you know, in his career? It's like, okay, he's got a great arm, and he's going to really get that ball downfield, and he might be prone to interceptions.
Yep, the same
and
thing.
And Jameis Winston is what?
Same
big
thing.
Arm, he's going to get the ball downfield, and he might be prone to interceptions. And obviously the Browns were able to make that work. Bill is in Chardon getting us going, 216-474-0092. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hi. Hello. I wanted to say condolences to Jim's family. It just breaks my heart to see what happened, but that's life. The other is I was down at the Cincinnati game. I have season tickets, and I was down yesterday, and those were not Browns fans cheering when Watson went down. Those were the Cincinnati fans, and I'm not saying there wasn't some people in the Browns that they come to a game once a year and they feel they can do stuff like that, but the season ticket holders I sit around, nobody was cheering.
Yeah, so we kind of turned the page on all this from last week, but Bill, I do appreciate your perspective on that, and you know, whether even if there were just one or two, like I keep saying, it's not, we can't generalize. It wasn't all Bengals fans that were cheering last week, Bill, right? I mean, I'm sure there were some Browns fans, but it's when we start generalizing, that's when I think we get in trouble. That's like everybody that thinks, even you, Bill, that if you were sitting in the stadium, they think that you were cheering that Deshaun, and we all know better. We all know better, but when the players start coming out after the game and they, you know, they're like taking down the fans and they're not saying, well, we know it's not all fans. We know it's a couple fans. That's how we get into these silly generalizations that we all know that aren't true. And by the way, Bill, don't you think our fans were great yesterday when JOK got hurt? I mean, they were great yesterday.
Absolutely. It was so loud, I had to put my hands over my ears a few times. it was amazing. Now, the other thing is, why do they, the Browns, I don't know if it's the coaching staff specifically or management, fall in love with certain players, like the backup quarterback, this young man who I'm sure is going to be a good quarterback someday, but they were reluctant to put Jameson in there. I don't get it. I mean, he's a veteran. He can throw the ball downfield. Yes, he throws some interceptions, but that's part of the game. So did Flacco. And we turned around and people, like, it was their last choice because the other boy got hurt and they had to put somebody in that they knew.
He was active yesterday, though. He was the backup quarterback. DTR was the backup.
He should be. Yeah. He should be for another year or two. They did the same thing with Anthony Schwartz. They pounded him down our throats, and the kid was fast as lightning but couldn't hold on to the ball. So, you know, I don't get it. I mean, the fans knew that they should have put Jameson in. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. There's probably a lot of inside stuff going on that I don't get.
Bill, thank you very much for the phone call. Let's just...
I know, anytime you can add a little Jameson to something, I think your day is going to be a little better. That's just me personally.
I've always liked the name Jameson.
Yeah,
and I even suggested it for one of my sons when we were thinking of names for our kid. I was thinking Jameson because I remember Simon and Simon, the detective show.
Yeah, I thought
star Jameson
go.
Parker. I always loved that name.
I actually thought you were going to go. Houston Rocket and Ohio University basketball star
Dave
Jamerson from Stowe.
Jamerson.
Yeah, close enough, though.
Jameson is Jameson Parker, who was
every time he'd
from
come to
Simon
Kent,
and Simon.
He'd bury him from the K. It was
our
awesome.
Our quarterback's name is, and it's not just Bill who said it. I've heard numerous people
really?
Say, yeah. The quarterback's name is Jameis.
Oh.
It's not an extra syllable. It's Jameis.
Think just, famous Jameis.
There you go. For anybody,
I heard Coach Stepanski say yesterday, Jameson.
Stepanski probably said that too. You got to keep an eye out for Stepanski.
216-474-0092. Do you have thoughts on the quarterback and the difference in what you saw yesterday? Do you have thoughts about the play calling yesterday? I do. And I'll tell you what I think coming up next on Baskin and Phelps. Well, more than one person mentioned the playoffs yesterday. I want to mention play calling. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it after we hear from Sutton, who is called from Northern California. What part of Northern California, Sutton?
Hey, out of Sacramento, Jeff. Good morning, Andy.
Very nice.
Good morning. How are you?
My buddy Brian May worked in Sacramento for years as a sportscaster.
Ding!
Oh, nice. Yeah, I moved out here a couple years ago.
I see you are completely... just blown away by Brian May.
The correct reaction.
I just mentioned that. I wasn't looking for anything.
Oh, man.
Sutton, you know who the guy is. There you go.
My niece used to live in Livonia. Is that close enough? There's a really good barbecue place there.
You guys can both kiss my patootie. Go ahead, Sutton.
Yeah, so, you know, the second to last drive I wanted to discuss, I was very upset with the play calling there. When we had the lead and... they kind of rush to the line and run Nick Chubb up the middle, and he gets stuffed. And I really felt like that was we could have taken time, grinded down the clock there, and because we were moving the ball and iced the game if you get that first down. And I felt like, you know, then we had to give the ball back to them. They scored, and then ultimately we were able to get the touchdown. But I felt like, you know, that was not good football there, and it's going to get overlooked. Because
you mean on the field when they ended up with the field goal, Sutton, or the one when they punted?
The moment they punted.
Okay. Yeah, that was a three-play, 2-yard drive.
Oh, yep. Yeah, I see it. I see what he's talking about. I thought it was something else.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Sutton. Thanks.
Again, that barbecue place is really, really good. Livermore.
Give Brian my best.
Is it Livermore? Livonia. I said Livonia by mistake. That's in Michigan. Livermore is like halfway.
Northern California.
It's halfway.
Livonia, Michigan. I can see how you confuse
well,
that.
Well, Livermore, Livonia, they're all the same. I just start traveling hockey, find these things out.
East Liverpool.
That's true. And it is actually east of Liverpool, the real Liverpool, isn't it? If you think about it. But
yesterday,
then if you go the other way, you'd be west.
Yesterday you had Ken Dorsey up in the booth.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And you had Kevin Stefanski standing on the sidelines going like, hey, fellas.
Hey, what do I do with my hands?
You guys playing cards?
Should I put them under my armpits or should I stick them in my pockets? Maybe my back pocket, front pocket? I don't have a card. Why wouldn't you still have a card in front of you? I didn't understand that. Who cares if you're not calling the plays? If you're the head coach, wouldn't you want the card in front of you?
Probably not.
Plus, I mean, if they
want to, you want to give Dorsey clear runway. Now, I'm going to make this point, and I think it's accurate. And you tell me, I don't have any issue with the head coach calling the plays. I think Kevin is a good play caller.
I do too.
I said this last week, and I think it came to fruition. If you bring in Jameis and he lights it up and Kevin is still calling the plays, then every finger gets pointed at Deshaun Watson. that, well, you needed to change quarterback. That's obviously the reason. There's a little bit of gray area because Ken Dorsey called the plays. I want to get rid of that gray area.
Can I give you two simple tips to being a better football team?
Yep.
Don't coach for optics, because that's what that is, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
And I hate to say it, teams that make all their decisions based on payroll, it's not healthy. It's not good.
Well, that's,
you get more of a chance because you're making more money?
There's no question about that.
And so that's what we look like right now, though.
Take a look at Indianapolis. They've invested in Anthony Richardson at quarterback, even though Joe Flacco is clearly a better quarterback. And they played Anthony Richardson yesterday. And he's terrible. He was 10 of 32. But they like his potential, and they think they have an investment there, and they want to develop him. The difference yesterday was the quarterback play was better. It was not the play calling.
You could argue the offensive line play was better, too.
Well, sure.
But guess what?
Quarterback play had something to do with that. Your quarterback was decisive, and he was getting rid of the ball, and he was staying in the pocket.
It was complimentary, wasn't it?
It was the way you're supposed to play quarterback. Here's the thought. I went back and I looked at what Flacco did last year.
Ooh.
With who calling the plays?
Kevin Stefanski.
And with what Winston did yesterday with who calling the plays?
Ken Dorsey.
And I looked at what Watson did earlier this year. The Winston game yesterday and the Flacco games last year are almost identical statistically. Why? Because you have the two similar style quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. So why didn't they just keep Flacco?
Well, there's a reason why. You got the same quarterback, but about 9 years younger. That's why.
Okay, I'll buy it.
That's what I think.
I also go back to argument at the beginning of the segment where I said optics.
All right, let me throw this out at you real quick. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
First, we'll go with Deshaun. Deshaun was averaging 164 yards passing per game. Hadn't thrown for more than 196 and only 5 touchdowns. Yesterday, Jameis threw for 334 and 3 touchdowns. Yards per passing attempt, Watson was at a career low 5.3 this year. Yesterday, Jameis was at 8.1. Yards per completion, a career low 8.4 for Deshaun. 12.4 yesterday for Jameis Winston. Completion percentage, Jameis was at 65.9 yesterday. Deshaun, his best as a Brown, not quite what Jameis did yesterday at 63.4. And quarterback rating, it was only one game now. Keep that in mind, and it was against the worst pass defense in the NFL coming in. Jameis at 115.3 and Deshaun at 79. Now here's the comparison. You ready? And this is where I say it's quarterback and not play caller. They're still calling plays. It's still the offense that Kevin Stefanski wants to run. Last year, Flacco averaged 323 yards per game. Yesterday, Jameis was right there, 334, a little bit more. Yards per attempt, Jameis 8.1, Flacco 7.9, nearly identical. Yards per completion, Jameis 12.4, Flacco 13.1, very close. Completion percentage, Flacco not quite what Jameis was yesterday. Quarterback rating, Winston was higher yesterday. Flacco had 300-plus yards in 4 of his 5 games. Winston had it in his first. Andy, that was Joe Flacco. That was Kevin Stefanski calling plays for Flacco. That's what we had yesterday with Dorsey calling plays for Winston. That's what this offense is supposed to look like, not what we saw, unfortunately, with Deshaun at quarterback. And I don't blame it on anything except maybe Deshaun's not healthy. Maybe he can't get the ball downfield because of his shoulder. He's not reading the field really well. He clearly is not the quarterback that he was in Houston. And I understand the team trying to make it work because they gave up draft choices galore and more money than had ever been given to an NFL player guaranteed. I understand that. And if you had got the quarterback that we saw in Houston, okay, you didn't get that guy. What you got was a guy who's not what he used to be. And I don't know if he ever will be again. And I think yesterday showed everybody that at the end of this year, you need to move on from Deshaun Watson. I don't think there's any question.
You know, Daryl said the same thing yesterday.
But Andy, you and I had been saying that all year. Okay, this is the third year. If it doesn't work this year, you got to move on. Well, it's real clear.
What are we looking, though, at Deshaun, right? Like, what if Deshaun can play at the start of the season next year?
Did you see enough?
Yeah, I did, Jeff. And
did you see enough that makes you think that he should play here next year?
For Deshaun?
Yes.
Truthfully, I'm ready to turn the page.
Absolutely.
And yesterday, and if Jameis comes back again next week and has a similar type game, I think everyone sees that. Everyone sees that. But
the only catch,
does the budget see that? That's the question.
But you're going to have to pay him anyway, and you're going to have to take a hit anyway. I mean,
are you just you can't just
stuck for 2 years, regardless of whether he's on the team or not.
Yeah, let me.
It might be more punitive to let him go.
Let me ask the bullpen
but
coach.
But still,
on here.
Man,
if they can hang on to him next year and keep him as the backup, right? Isn't that what you're doing?
Well, it'd be ugly.
Is that what are you doing?
It'd be ugly.
Am I the bullpen coach?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Houston kept him on the team for a year and didn't play him.
So the question is more of like, you kind of, if you want to be a competitive franchise next year, you kind of need his contract so that you can yank the lever on that contract and make it so that you can still continue to go for it without cutting him. That's if you decide you want to try to make a playoff run and possibly a Super Bowl run. You kind of need him to continue what you're doing.
Otherwise, it kills you.
So that you could turn it into the signing bonuses and lower his number and all that stuff.
Otherwise, it kills you, right?
I have no idea if he would be a malcontent in the locker room with not being a starting quarterback, or I have no idea if guys would come to him as though he was a starting quarterback. That's a heck of a question. And at one point, I had heard people were not worried that he would be a malcontent in the locker room, but who knows? So that's... Maybe you pull the lever and send him home and just say, hey, buddy, sit on your couch for the next couple of years and we'll keep paying you. But that's a heck of a question.
Or the other thing is you wonder about the injury and then maybe you look at an injury settlement. And I don't know how that affects.
I mean, there are things.
That's a heck of a question.
There are things that could happen with Jameis. You know, it's still a long season. There's a trade deadline coming up. We'll talk about some of that coming up.
Well, that's on Jameis too,
It's real clear, folks, is it not? If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get to your phone calls. We're going to talk to Scott Pedrak, our buddy from the Chronicle-Telegram, next on Baskin and Phelps.